left off, I believe, at the end of July, at the last Mishnah in the third parak. So very much I'd like to at least to finish off the last sugya. And we've been dealing with a number of situations defining how an Asherah tree is prohibited, what parts are prohibited, under what circumstances. And now the Mishnah is starting to turn to the question of Bittul. So what we've learned until now, and it's worth reminding ourselves, there are several aspects of Avodah Zarah that are Aser Bahana. The first is the Avodah Zarah itself, which is worshipped. The second are the things that would be considered Noyeh or Tashmish Avodah Zarah, which would be implements that are used, that actually have been used in the actual worship itself. Things that are there to decorate the Avodah Zarah, the artwork, to the extent that a church is on the assumption, which I think most Rishonim assume, that Christianity is Avodah Zarah. So the church itself, the bayis, the artwork, are Tashmish Avodah Zarah. And there's a third category, not yet here, but it's going to come up in the next sugya, at the beginning of the next parak, is the question of Tikrovas Avodah Zarah. And the distinction between there are different, each one of these has sort of had its own rules. The Avodah Zarah itself is Aser Bahana, certainly when it's been worshipped. If the Avodah Zarah itself has not yet been worshipped, so there's going to be a machlokas in the next parak between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Ishmael, depending upon who's making the Avodah Zarah, a Jew or non-Jew, when does it become Aser? When you make it, or when it's actually worshipped. So that, but certainly once the Avodah Zarah is worshipped for sure, and it may even be as soon as the Avodah Zarah is made, it's an Avodah Zarah, even though nobody has worshipped it. So it's already, you're not allowed to get any Hanah. The Tashmish Avodah Zarah, those things that are not worshipped themselves, and are not actually the sacrificial items, but are used as part of the service or the decorations, so everybody agrees those are only Aser once the Avodah Zarah itself has been worshipped. But up until that point, there's no Hekdesh La Avodah Zarah. If you take an animal and you're makdish it to bring it as a sacrifice to the Beis HaMikdash, as soon as you verbally declare it to be a sacrifice, a korban, so now it has sanctity and you're not allowed to get any benefit from it. But if you sanctify an animal for Avodah Zarah, it is certainly, or an item, an animal might not even be a good case because if you worship an animal, the animal's not Aser Bahana because it's a Baal Chai, because it's a living creature. But if you, let's say, if I take, an incense burner and I dedicate that, I indicate this will be to be used for the Baal, so it's not Aser until you actually use it. And then, now, what these two things they'll have in common is that they both are subject to Bittul. Is that both the Avodah Zarah itself, and certainly the Tashmish Avodah Zarah, the accessories for the Avodah Zarah, if the guy, let's say, declares them to be null and void, if he disqualifies them, he's not interested in using them anymore, so they are Mutar Bahana. Tikrovas Avodah Zarah, I've been telling you all of this year, Tikrovas Avodah Zarah has no Bittul, which is true. I wasn't misleading you, but we're actually going to explore not necessarily all Tikrovas Avodah Zarah, but certainly the standard forms, everything we've spoken about, for example, the wine that would be used, that we libated to Avodah Zarah, or in the context, let's say, of Roman Catholicism, the Eucharist, once it has been actually used, that would be called Tikrovas Avodah Zarah. That has no Bittul. A goy cannot nullify that status of Avodah Zarah. So our Mishnah now is going to talk about how a guy is mevatel to Avodah Zarah. Not so much how he's mevatel it. If the guy comes to the tree and says, "You're not my God anymore. I'm not worshiping you. Done." That's explicit bittul, and that's obviously not an issue. What the Mishnah is really going to explore is what types of actions with respect to the tree indicate that the Avodah Zarah is now batel. We often say actions speak louder than words. So presumably if the guy goes, chops down the tree, takes pieces and starts throwing into the fire, he doesn't have to say anything. We understand that's not Avodah Zarah anymore. So the Mishnah now says, in light of that, says the following. Daf Mem Tesam at base, the last Mishnah in the third parak. Correct. So the assumption there is a context in which the Netilas HaEitzim did not constitute Bittul. So now the Mishnah is going to explore under what firstly, that's also is going to be if a Jew does it. So remember that a Jew cannot be mevatel Avodah Zarah. So if a Jew goes to the Asherah tree and he takes some of the wood, it's still going to be Aser Bahana, right? It has to be the guy does it.
Daniel. Even if the Jew does the Avodah Zarah, he's not allowed to batal his own.
Correct. A Jew cannot be mevatel Avodah Zarah. A Rebbe, when he was younger, there's a Mishnah in the next Perek, which we have one particular version. It's one of two places in Shas where the Eretz Yisrael version of the Mishnah we have, printed in the Yerushalmi, is different than the Bavli. And the reason for that is, at least according to the Sugyos and the Bavli, Rebbe taught one way when he was younger, and he changed his mind when he was older. So, at least the way the text of the Mishnah reads in the Yerushalmi, when Rebbe was younger, well, Yerushalmi just presents the text. When Rebbe was younger, he taught that a goy can be mevatel the avodah zara, his own avodah zara, and a Jew's avodah zara, and Yisrael, I think, can only be mevatel his own avodah zara. And when Rebbe got older, he changed his mind and assumed that the avodah zara of a Jew has no bittel at all, and a goy can be mevatel his own avodah zara and the avodah zara of another goy. It doesn't have to be his own, and he can take that avodah zara and be mevatel. So the answer is, even if a Jew made it and a Jew worshipped it, it still remains us. In fact, one of the things we're going to see is very interesting. We also read it two weeks ago and three weeks ago about the Asherah tree. We've been talking about that all, you know, before we broke for the summer. And one of the interesting questions is, how is it the Asheros that were there in Moshe Rabbeinu's time, how is it they were Aser Bahana? If the non-Jews had worshipped them, the trees did not belong to them. They were attached to the ground, and Eretz Yisrael had been given to the Jewish people, to Avram Avinu. So when the goy worshipped the Asherah tree, it didn't belong to him. And we have a rule, Ein Adam Osa Davar Sheino Shelo. If I worship your tree, it doesn't make it to an Asherah tree. So the Gemara has a suggestion. We'll see. We're going to get to this probably a few shiurim down the line, that when the Jews worshipped the Avodah Zarah, they said, Eila Elohecha Yisrael. They said, these are your gods. And while the pshat is, Elohim is always in the plural. So nonetheless, the Gemara says that malamed she'ivu lahem elohus harbe. They desired to have many gods. And at that time, apparently, it's assumed that since they wanted many gods, they were also happy for the Canaanites to worship their trees in Eretz Yisrael. If a Jew gives permission to a guy to worship his stuff, then that is Neser B'Hana. So it's a very... we'll have to explore that Gemara when we get there. But the assumption is that a Jew certainly cannot be Mevatel his Avodah Zarah. So in this case, the Mishnah is talking about what if a guy does it. Ketzad Mevatla. Kirsem, the second Mishnah on the Avod. Kirsem Vezirad. If the guy went, Kirsem and Zirid refers to two different kinds of pruning. One seems to be more actually for the benefit of the tree. Nonetheless, the Mishnah assumes that it's conditional. One of them is when you take out the dry branches. That's when you prune the dead branches. The other one is when you're pruning the moist branches. Presumably the reason you do that is because even if the branches are alive, if you have too many branches, it doesn't allow the tree to grow properly. So the Mishnah says the following. Kirsim Vizirate, or Natal Mimenu Makel, or Sharvit, if he took a staff, or a scepter, a piece of wood for a scepter, Afilu Ole, even if he took a leaf for some purpose, Hareze Betela. It's batel, because if you have an avodah zarah, you don't take parts of it for your own usage. It's kind of, you know, it's pasnish. You don't, it's like walking into, if you have an aron kodesh and you have some decorations on it, and they're not really necessary. Now, you know, I take one because I need it to use for the kiddush or something like that.
Why wouldn't you clean up your avodah zarah?
What's that?
Why wouldn't you clean it up?
So hold on one second. So the assumption is that you're taking this wood, you're using it, and so on. The Mishnah, hold on one second. Butla, Hareza Betela, Shipa Litzarka, if you take shavings off the tree, if you do it for the purpose of the tree, to make the tree look nicer, and for the benefit of the tree, Asura, then the tree remains prohibited. Shelo Litzarka, if it's done not for for beautifying the tree, but really for your own needs, you want to throw some fuel into the fire. So under those circumstances, it is permitted. So clearly, although I don't know why the Mishnah didn't assume that pruning might have been sometimes just for the tree's purposes, but the assumption I think you have to make is that when they're talking about Kirsem Vizirade, you're taking it primarily for the wood. Sometimes you're taking dry branches, sometimes you're taking moist branches, but if you're taking the shavings, primarily you see, you know, one of the ways might be tell. If you take it all in sort of in one spot, you just want to pull stuff out rather than going around the tree, that's for your own benefit. When you see the guy shaving, you know, carefully, each part of the tree, because you can see what he's doing, so then that is considered Litzora Ha'ilan, and that means it's still an Avodah Zarah. So now the Gemara asks the following question. Supposing that you pruned the tree, you shaved the tree, you were shofar the tree For the tree's benefit. So the tree is not batel v'hana. So that's simple.
We're focusing just on that last sheepa and not all of them.
Why is it focususing on this?
On the sheep, you know.
Well, because the Gemara is not going to...
A list of ways of removing wood.
Because the first parts of the Mishnah, all of those things are mevatel the asherah. So the question is going to be the following. If I take shavings off the tree, for the benefit of the tree, so the tree is still prohibited in Hanah. The question is, what about the shavings? The tree is asr. Now, everything in the Mishnah until now were things where you mevatel the tree. So everything is mutter. The tree, the stuff you took off the tree. But in this case, the Mishnah says that the tree itself still remains an asherah and prohibited if you're getting any hanah from it. So the question is, but what about the stuff you took off? So osan shifa'im, where the tree is still prohibited, matehe aleim. So the Gemara says, pligi bar Rav Huna, v'chia bar Rav. There was a machlokas between Rav Huna and Chia bar Rav. Rav student and Rav son. Charam ar asurin, v'charam ar mutarim. One of them said that it was prohibited, one said it was mutar. And then the Gemara just says, Tanya kamanda amar mutarim. There's a braisa that teaches, following the opinion that who said that it was permitted, that Tanya oved kolchavim shishipa avodas kolchavim. If a guy shaved down the tree of an avodah zara, litzar ko, he ushva'eh mutarim. If it was for his own benefit, then everything is mutar. Litzar ko, if it was done for the benefit of the tree, he asura ushva'eh mutarim. Then one can derive benefit from that. I presume what happens there is that if the guy shaved it because he wanted the shavings, so presumably he takes them with him, so there's no question to ask. If he shaved it because he wasn't interested in the shavings, he just wanted the tree nice, he shaves them and dumps the stuff. Now you come along and you find these nice tree shavings, which you have a use for, and the question is, can you use them or not? So if a guy did it, it's mutter. However, the Yisrael sheshipa avodas kolchavim bein letzarko hi ushva asurim. If a Jew comes along and shaves the avodah zara tree down, it doesn't matter why he did it; it's still asur pana. Everything's asur pana because a Jew cannot be mevatel the avodah zara of any avodah zara, and even the avodah zara of a goy, which potentially has bittul. That's the straightforward part. I didn't see any of the Rishonim talk about what the machlokas is really about. I mean, it's an interesting question. What are they arguing about? They're just arguing about what was the intent of the person who did it, because presumably that's what it boils down to. In other words, everything is dependent upon what is the guy's intent. The guy has the capacity to mivatil the avodah zarah. The question is, what is he thinking when he's doing this? Okay. Anyway, be that as it may, here's where things get interested and complicated. Itmar. Avodas kochavim shenishtabra. If an avodah zara was broken, passive voice, it was broken. And it's not. That's not a good English. The English translation is ambiguous. Broken can sort of refer to, can be a verb or it can be sort of an adjective. But how would you translate shenishtabra? That it had been broken or something like that. Had become broken. Well, here's the tricky part. There's a word that the Bach inserts into the Gemara, which is me'eleha, on its own. Right. Now, if you don't put that word in there, the possibility could be that somebody actually broke it. That possibility exists. Shenishtabra could mean that you found it broken, and then you don't know how it was broken. If you say shenishtabra me'eleha, it means, you know, a bolt of lightning struck it. It means that a goy didn't do it. But that's the crucial point. There's the agency of the non-Jew, because if the goy broke it, it's pretty likely, pretty certain he was mevatel it. And if it broke on its own, well, that's where it gets complicated, because that was the opening, one of the first sugyas in the parak. It was the second Mishnah, which is, I think, what's part of the problem, what's going on here.
So if it broke on its own, that the guy would come and mevatel it, because he can't use it anymore.
So here's the catch. The reason why the guy would be mevatel is not because he can't use it anymore. Let's say it were a metal statue, but if a huge boulder fell on it and smashed it into pieces, right? The guy could melt it down and reshape it. But the logic for saying that the guy would be mevatel is, he would say, if it couldn't save itself, how's it going to save me? So that's the Gemara earlier in the Perek. Right, the Gemara had a machlokas earlier in the parak. The Mishnah spoke about shvarim of avodah zarah. If you motze shivrei tzlamim, if you actually find not broken pieces of avodah zarahs, but of things that are graven images, and you don't, which means you don't know whether it was worshipped or not. So Shmuel claimed that the same then applies to shivrei avodah zarah, not just even if you know it was worshipped. That's the first opening sugya of the parak. Then Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan have a machlokas about avodah zarah shenishtabra me'eleha. Right, and whether or not it's batel. And it seems like Reish Lakish is working with the principle that the guy, even though the guy doesn't know about it, Mistama Hebrew Mivatal. If you knew about him, Mivatal. And the Svara was, if it didn't save itself, how is it going to save me? Rabbi Yochanan said no. If it was a Shtaber, Yemei Aleha, no. The Gemara here.
Shlomi Das, does it work like, even though he hasn't.
We spoke about this year, Shlomi Das. I don't think the Gemara, I don't think, remember the Gemara invoking it, maybe it did, but I don't think so.
No.
But that sugya, if you're interested, I'm not going to read it now, is back on Daf Mem Aleph Amid Beis. The mouth on the base. It's certainly, I think I said at the time, it certainly has shades a little bit of Abaye and Rava about Yeyo Shalomidas. What if someone gives up, would give up if they knew they lost their object, but they didn't know that they lost their object. So anyway, the truth is the Psak, I think, would be consistent, because I assume we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, that it's not Batel, and we also pass like Abaye. It's one of the six cases where we say Yeyo Shalomidas doesn't count. So if somebody lost an object, and they know they lost the object, and they give up hope of getting it back, they have Yeyush, and you pick it up, you're allowed to keep it. If you pick it up before Yeyush, you're not allowed to keep it. At that point, Yeyush doesn't work, because once you pick it up, you are their shomer. It's like Yeyush doesn't work when it's in my possession, so if you picked it up, and I wasn't Miyayish yet, you're obligated to return it to me. You're like my shomer, shomer chinam, shomer sachars, and machlokas, and therefore the Yeyush doesn't work, because when I give up hope, it's like it's in my pocket, and Yeyush doesn't work when it's in your own pocket. So Abayis, but what if the God person doesn't know about it? But if they knew about it, they would certainly be miyayish. So it's a machlokas, a rav and Abaye, and Abaye says it's not yeyosh until they actually know about it, or you can assume they knew about it, and we pass like Abaye. It's one of the six cases, there are only six cases in Shas, we pass like Abaye against Rava. This is one of them. So at least if they're logically connected, we pass like probably like Rav Yochanan, we pass like Abaye. But here's the complicated part. We have an avodas kochavim shenishtabra maybe me'eleha. Rav amar tzarech levatel kol kisem v'kisem. Rav says that the guy has to be mevatel every single piece. If you want any every splinter, literally, that you want to be mutter, the guy has to be, that kisem is batel. That, I mean, he could say, the guy has the capacity to say, all of these kisamim are batel, but he actually has to, every piece is asur until the guy is mevatel one, or as many as he's mevatel. Ushmuel amar, avodas kochavim eina betela ela derech gedelosa. Now, this is a very strange statement initially. It means that Avodah Zarah, what he says literally, is not batel unless it's in its form or fashion, which seems totally counterintuitive. When the Avodah Zarah is intact, it's less likely to be batel. When the Avodah Zarah is broken, it's more likely any guy would be mevatel than Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara immediately says, Adraba, derech gedelasa mi mevatla. No, if the tree is, let's say, growing intact, it's not going to be batel. Ela, derech gedelasa, derech El Hachi Kamar. Ein avodas kochavim tzricha levatel ala derech gedei lasa. Shmuel says you don't have to be mevatel. He says all the pieces are in fact batel. The guy doesn't need to be mevatel. Forget being mevatel each kisem. Avodah Zarah doesn't require bittel if it's not derech gedei lasa anymore. Now, this sounds an awful lot like the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan.
So what's that? Just translate that.
I'm sorry.
In our case.
So, in other words, in the case where an avodah zarah nishtaber meila, Shmuel says you don't need bittel; it's memela batel automatically.
Because this is an unnatural way for it to be. It's unnatural. It's broken.
Sam, look at the line. Ein avodas kochavim tzrichot li batel ela derech gedela. So you don't. If the avodah zarah is intact, then if you want it to be batel, a guy has to actively be mevatel. But if it's not derech gedela, if it's broken into pieces, so then there's no need for bittel. It's batel on its own.
And the other case we had where a normal way of breaking that would people would be when leaves come off a tree. As leaves come
whoa,
up.
Whoa, hold on! Don't go there yet. You're
going to. You have to say Derek. They lost the first time. Understand? Not Derek. They lost.
So for now, I know.
In both cases, otherwise it's not going to be understandable.
No, I want to hold off on that line for a moment because you're going where the Rishonim are going with this. Let's Derek de Lasa means while the thing. Let's just say while the thing is intact. Okay, that Gedei Lasa is the way it grows when the tree is intact. Then you need, if you want to be mevatel, mevatel it. If it's not derech gedei lasa, if it's fallen apart, if it's come off, then you don't need bittel. It's automatically batel. Just hold on a second.
Okay.
So the Rishonim all want to know what's going on here. The Gemara is going to discuss this a little further. We'll read the Shach Vataria. Hopefully, we'll get to that. But the question is why does this seems to be the same machlokas of Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan earlier? Why is the two machlokos not connected? Right, they're really one and the same thing. Or at least on the surface, it looks like the same thing. So the question is, why doesn't the Gemara invoke, why didn't they quote this discussion earlier? Why don't they quote Rav and Shmua, Reish Lakish Yochanan here? Nobody says boo. So Rashi immediately comments. Rashi says, if you look at the big Rashi, biggest Rashi in the Sugya, Lo dechulei alma ovden l'shvarim. We're going to, I'm sorry, so, well, one second, hold on. We got to read one more line in the Gemara for this. So the Gemara says, Lema b'hakam apalgi. Is this what they're arguing about? The Mar Savar, Rav holds, ovden l'shvarim, they still worship the broken pieces. Even if you didn't break it, assuming it broke on its own, the guy would still worship them. Mar Savar, ain't ovden l'shvarim. Shmuel holds, which would be consistent with a sheet at the beginning of the parak, that they don't serve the shvarim. So now the Gemara says, lo, d'chulei alma ovden l'shvarim. Everybody agrees that a guy might worship the shvarim, if it broke on its own. V'hacha b'shivrei shvarim kamipalgi. If there's broken pieces, broken to further pieces. Mar Savar shivrei shvarim asurim, umar Savar shivrei shvarim mutarim. Okay, the Gemara and the Rishonim don't really explain what exactly the Machlokas is about. But here's what Rashi already, and this is not Rashi, like Rashi doesn't usually ask questions from one sugya to another, but Rashi couldn't restrain himself. And Rashi says, hold on, if that's what you're going to say, that both Rav and Shmuel agree that the pieces, the initial pieces, Shvarim are Asurim, what do you do with Shmuel at the beginning of the Perek? Rashi writes, And lo dechule alma ovdim l'shvarim shenishtabur meilehin. V'hada amar Shmuel b'reish pirkin afilu shivrei elda avodas kochav mutarim b'hana l'motzan. Why does Shmuel say that if you find shivrei avodas kochavim, they're mutar? Hasam hu delo chazina le dinishtabur meileha. There, you didn't see that it broke on its own. Z'amrinan oved kochavim shvarim. Probably a guy broke them. V'azlinon basaruba. It's not common for an Avodah Zarah to break on its own. If you find a broken Avodah Zarah, there are two possibilities. It broke on its own, or some guy broke it. What did probably happen statistically? The guy broke it. If the guy broke it, so that's a pretty good simon, he was a mevatel. That's not the question. The question is nishtabra me'elah. When Shmuel commented on that the second mishnah of the Perek and said, not only shivrei tzlamim are mutarim, but shivrei avodah zarah also, yeah, it means you found shivrei avodah zarah. You don't know how they broke. Probably they broke by a guy breaking him, and you can assume it's mutar. And so you're allowed to assume that you follow the rove, the guy was mevatel it. Here the question is something where it's really nishtabra me'elahim. It really broke on its own. Now, Rashi doesn't answer the question. Rashi doesn't answer the question about all the shock about Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, right? Granted, you can separate Shmuel Shita earlier in the parak from Reish Lakish in the piece that follows it, but Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are arguing exactly about this. Avodas Kochavim Shenishtabra Me'eleha, right? That's not in question. Shmuel, when he commented on the Mishnah, wasn't necessarily Me'eleha. Could have been that a guy broke it. So Tosfos was bothered by this question.
Why is there never an assumption that a Jew broke? Why can't that be one of
the... Well, because it is an option, but probably still a majority of cases is the guy broke it. Right. In other words, it's possible Jew broke it too, but and that's for conceptual purposes the equivalent of Nishtabra Me'eleha. Okay. So Tosus was bothered by that question, and he doesn't like Rashi's approach for reasons that he lays out. So Tosus presents really two other possibilities. One possibility is that Tosfos suggests that it's the very nature of the tree. If you look in Tosfos, where you see a little hay of the bach, in the little hay, and it's about a little more than halfway down, and the Tosfos dibar maschil lo dechulei alma. So if you go two lines up from that hay, Tosfos says the following: Lochein nira lefaresh dehacha mayri shadarka linasher kismin vanafim tadir ve'ein manicha melaovda bekach. No, this is a unique situation. This is a tree. This is what you were saying before, Sam. A tree normally drops its leaves and drops pieces. And yet the guy still continues to worship it. So the fact that those things break off in no way undermines the status of the Avodah Zarah. Neither the tree, perhaps, nor of the pieces that fall off. What they're talking about in the what Shmuel was talking about earlier is you see an Avodah Zarah that not pieces naturally sheared off the Avodah Zarah. The Avodah Zarah was broken. So that was one possible distinction. Tosfos then quotes another possible distinction. He says, Odi Shlomar, the Hasa Mayri Bishvarm Shenimsu Levadam below Ikar Avodas Kochavim. Avahacha Mayri Shekala Shvarm Beyachad. So Tosfos says that maybe in the place where Shmuel was Mekel is when you find broken piece of Avodah Zarah, but not the rest of the Avodah Zarah. In other words, these pieces broke off the Avodah Zarah. Here you find the entire Avodah Zarah, but broken into pieces. And the question is, if all the pieces are here. So let's read on. All the pieces are here. So maybe he still considers somehow the Avodah Zarah intact. When he finds a piece here, a piece there, so it's no longer the Avodah Zarah. Okay, whichever teretz one prefers, the Rishonim are well aware of the problem, ironically, from the beginning to the end of the Perek. And why does the Gemara not quote that particular discussion? The answer is because that's a different case. However, that is a different case. Okay, so now the Gemara, four lines, right where we left off, the second wide line near the end, says, V'boyes ema, the chulei alma shivrei shvar mutar. Everybody agrees that if it breaks into little pieces, again, it's not clear why, but everybody agrees that that's mutter. Shvarim might be, shivrei shvarim would definitely be mutter. And shvarim are asur, of a regular of the Zara. But this is a unique case. And what is our case? V'hacha b'avodas kochavim shel chulyos. You're talking about an avodah zara, which is made up of pieces. It's made up of pieces. It's like a Lego avodah zara, but a little better than a Lego. You know, a Rector set avodah zara. And the head yod, you don't need to be a craftsman to put it together. Mar savar kevan the head yod yochol achzira lo betela. Umar savar ein avodas kocham betela elach derech kedei lasa dahine urche. So Rav says that since a head yod, a non craftsman could put it back together, then it still remains an avod. Then it remains bikdushasa because the guy says it's easy to put back together. And
it's not broken, really. It's
like, right, that's what I would have said. It's hard for me. I explained that sheet very well. The other side is Umar Safar in Avodah Zarah Mitela Derech Kedei Lasa. Avodah Zarah doesn't require bittul unless Derech Kedei Lasa. Dahayinu Urchei. That's the normal way. Halav Gedei Lasa Hi Vein Sri Chalavatel. So the question is,
you don't expect it to come apart like this.
What's that?
You don't expect it to come apart like this. It's not like a tree losing its leaves. This is an unnatural way for this to be.
Correct. But the question is, if the guy assumes he could put it back, so you're going to have to say, still, that it broke on its own. You have to really, you know, you have to say, because it broke on its own, even though it's easy to put back together, he says, forget it. Right. That's what you're going to have to say. Okay. Anyway, so I understand Rob's position better than I understand Shmuel's position in this case, but that's what the Gemara says, that the Machlokas is. Okay. Hadron Allah Kalat Slamim. That's the end of the Perek. I'm going to read just the first line, because we always read the first line, or first Mishnah. Rabbi Yishmael Omer Shalosh Avanim Zo Bitzad Zo, Bitzad Markulus. Markulus is the Avodah Zarah Mercury. I cannot find any descriptions online of Mercury being a pile of stones, but that's what the Mishnah assumes. It assumes a pile of stones made as a symbol of Mercury, who was the god of travelers and the god of a number of other things. If you find three stones next to one another, near a Markulus. Now, you have a Markulus of others over. You find three stones, Asuros, Ushtayim Mutaros. Three stones, those stones are Asur. Two are Mutar. Question is why, but you have to wait till next year. It depends whether or not the stones look like they were part of the Mercury, or they were separate. If they look like they were part of it, they're Asur, and if not, they are Mutar.